Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you there?
Yes.
Good afternoon. This is no way.
We trained in professional crew. We've just had some kind of a technical difficulty here trying to make the connections with the studio, and we are pretty sure that we're on the air right now, but we're not absolutely positive.
Well, I'm positive. Today is Tuesday, July 15th, 2014. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are co-hosts for Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with Alfred Adesk. I may as well just start all over, right? Anyway, welcome to the program today.
It's too late to start over. You just have to just go for it.
Just go for it.
That's it. Just go.
We are here to bring you our opinion and commentary, yes, on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, July 15th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh,
how are things going?
Hey, things are going just great, and unfortunately, not the same thing for gold today. Yesterday and today, they just came in and whacked it. Billions of contracts and dollars spent on hitting the price of gold, and went down, stayed there all day, and it does shock me that they broke through 1300, but you know what? That's what they wanted. They got what they wanted, and so again, it just gives us another opportunity, and we're going to say this again and again and again. It's a great buying opportunity until we can get it turned around. But that day is coming, folks. We have gold $1,295 down $1,270 today. Silver's down 18 at $2,083. You have platinum down 10 at $1,486, and palladium down 3 at $871. The USDX today is trading a lot stronger, 0.23 at 80.39. Crude oil broke down through 100, 99.95. And the paper markets, they were able to pretty much keep them steady today. You had the Dow up 5 points. We had Yellen and her comments, the Fed chairman, Janet Yellen, made some comments today, and we'll be talking about that because I thought she made some interesting comments. And I can't remember the last time a Fed chairman made the type of comments that she did make today. But the Dow was up 5 points at 17,060. The NASDAQ was down 24 at 44.16, and the S&P was down 3 at 382, and the 10-year is yielding 2.55%. So,
time is on our side. Yes, it is. That's just a little song for all the people who want to manipulate the price of gold and push it down. I don't care what they do, and I've said it before, I don't care if the price of gold falls to $1,000 an ounce. All that means to me is it's a bigger buying opportunity. It's more for me, and it's easier for me to buy. All right. It's irritating to see them knock the price of gold down, but it is not. I mean, I don't even take it personally. I mean, it's one of those things where I sit back and say, yeah, well, okay, fine. Great. It's good for me. Yeah. Somebody is selling their gold at fool's prices. That's the problem. And whoever is doing this, they're trying to maintain the illusion that the fiat dollar has value. That's their objective in this. But that's going to fail. And everyone knows it's going to fail. The only thing we don't know is exactly when it's going to fail. That is the big question. When is it all going to blow up in their faces, Melody? You have any idea?
It's coming soon, next year.
Yeah, it's getting closer all the time. That's facts.
But I'm having technical problems here.
Well, you know what they say, Melody. It's like automotive problems. You know, usual solution is you got to tighten up the nut behind the steering wheel. That's usually whenever I have a mistake. That's usually the solution to my problems. So how can I help with whatever technical problems you're having?
Just go on with the next story. I did want to talk about Yellen, but I can't pull up any of my.
It's a conspiracy, Melody. They are out to stop us. You understand that? It's the government doing this.
I believe it.
Yeah. All right.
Because I'm far more competent than this by not being able to, and just for some reason, my computer is just like it just shut down. And it's just
this could be the beginning of the crash. This may start with Melody's computer and just spread out from there, and who knows? By tomorrow, it would be like Y2K.
Well, I was just very puzzled by this. And, okay, I have it working, so we were able to waste enough time.
All right.
What I did want to say today is we did have a federal, the Fed chairman, Janet Yellen. And, of course, you know, she's going to follow the script. I mean, I even heard Jim Cramer, and, yeah, I don't believe in anything that he says, but he's a mouthpiece for Wall Street. And, you know, he basically said all Janet Yellen has to do is follow the script. And that is exactly what she is doing. She is following the script. And she told Congress today that the Fed intends to keep providing significant support to the U.S. economy. Hello, no duh. Of course they're going to say that. They're going to try to say that they're going to support the economy to boost growth, improve labor market conditions, and blah, 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 blah.
They have fight unemployment. One of their big objectives
they
is
have
fight
fought.
Unemployment, which they haven't done at all.
And how much money have they spent in trying to keep this going, trying to stimulate some sort of growth in our economy, and they just can't seem to do it. But they also warned, she also warned of increased signs of risk-taking in some stocks. The central bank's monetary policy report submitted to Congress today noted that valuations for stocks in smaller companies, as well as social media, biotech firms, appear to be stretched. So, you know, here she's telling you that you would think that these markets would just turn around and crash here in the very near future. So I found that interesting that when was it You know, I can't remember the last time that the central bank, I can't remember Greenspan saying that the tech stocks were overvalued. He called it an enthusiasm, a very enthusiastic.
Exuberance.
Yes. But to actually say that, you know, these areas are overstretched and could cause these stocks that are overvalued. So I found that interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a little bit of trying to cover their backside where they can point at one point or another down the road. They'll be able to point back and say, well, remember back there in July 15th when I warned you that some of these stocks were overvalued? It's a little bit maybe. You know, you look at it and you just wonder, what business is it of hers to point out that a handful of stocks are overvalued? All by itself, that's odd. If she was going to say the whole market is overvalued, all right, that's information we can all use. But to select specific areas within the stock market and say this one's okay and this okay, oh, but that one over there is bad and that one over there is bad. She's going to hurt those stocks, those individual stocks or arenas in a sense within the stock market. They're going to take a loss based on this. You can bet there's going to be a loss in their stock prices. Why did she do this? It is odd.
So is that considered inside trading?
I don't know what it's considered. It's, she's not trading herself per se, but she's making announcements that are just, that seem improper for someone in her position.
Does she really want people to come out of these stocks and go into the banking stocks because that's where they desperately need the money? But anyway, we'll see how it all plays out. But she did make a comment that perhaps they would be able to raise a short-term interest rate sooner than currently projected. And she's currently projecting middle of next year, so that means they could be raising rates by the end of the year. And we'll see what that happens to the economy once those short-term rates begin to rise. We've already, the Commerce Department today reported that retail sales rose just 0.2% last month, held back by a sharp drop at building materials and garden supply stores. So your Lowe's, your Home Depot's, and those types of stores, people weren't there. And that was the beginning of the season last month, June. You know, here in the East, you don't plan anything till Memorial Day. So you would think that would be a busy time of the year for these stores. You also had sales fall at restaurants and at auto dealers. So after the big splurge.
People are walking to get their meals now? Is that what's happening?
Don't know. But the latest show that the Americans are reluctant to spend freely.
Yeah, I know.
And, of course, this comes after that major drop in the GDP for the first quarter. So already the second quarter doesn't sound like it's going to be a very good number.
It'll probably be. I was listening to John Williams yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. I listened to an interview with John Williams. He's predicting that the number will be for growth in the second quarter. It might come out just slightly positive, but he thinks that once it's readjusted, it'll go negative. All right, it'll be another negative quarter. Well, we'll watch and see. We may not know what the true economic condition of this country is until 5 or 10 years after the fact, the way things are going right now. But you talk about people being tight with a dollar and unwilling to spend, and it's showing up in restaurants, and it's showing up in some elements of the automobile industry. Here's an article from the Associated Press. Owners of Trump Plaza Casino expect it will close. All right? And Atlantic City, New Jersey. Atlantic City's crumbling casino market disintegrated even further Saturday as the owners of Trump Plaza Casino said they expect to shut down in mid-September. Trump Entertainment Resorts told the Associated Press that no final decision has been made on the Broadwalk Casino, but the company said it expects this casino to close its doors September 16th. What's the point? The point is the American people are so broke they can't even afford to gamble. You know, that's the implication. That's an implication. I won't even say that it's absolutely God's truth and the rest, but still that's the implication of this. You know, a few years ago, people thought that if you had a casino, you almost couldn't miss. There's an endless supply of people willing to spend their money and lose it. There, that endless supply is no longer there.
Also, you have an endless supply of casinos, so, I mean, that was certainly,
increased competition, I get that.
You certainly have more casinos than maybe there was really gamblers, but, I mean, you have, was it Delaware or Maryland that are taking the casinos are taking bailouts from the government. They're getting these funds to keep them going because they don't have people coming in and gambling. And not only do they gamble, but they use their restaurants. There's a lot of other things that you do other than just to gamble when you go to these places. There's drinking, even though there's some drinks that are free. You do pay for some drinks and again food and so forth. So and a lot of these casinos, like in these states, not the Indian casinos, but your state casinos, a lot of those taxes go to a lot of the benefits of the
state revenue. Yeah. What they may do is they start having bailouts. They've had the Federal Reserve has bailed out the major banks. It may be that major banks will start bailing out their brother casinos. The whole system is based on so much gambling right now, it's really not that much of a stretch. The banks may start buying the casinos. Gamble, gamble, gamble.
Maybe they'll replace them with pot houses now that they're legalizing pot. So they'll just legalize everything as they need more and more money.
Yeah, I understand.
So, I mean, that's... But also in the... Yellen had stated today that the economy still needs Fed stimulus. I don't know how she figures on stopping the stimulus come October. I mean, she plans that's only a couple of months away. So, I mean, you'd have to think that the economy is going to have to do some sort of a major, major improvement. And it's not going to.
The reason they're giving up on this, in my opinion, is that the Federal Reserve has bought so much toxic assets. They're hitting the gag reflex. Mm-hmm. And they're just saying, look, we can't continue to play this game. To some degree, they may be bailing out on quantitative easing for the purpose of just saving the Federal Reserve, trying to say, look, we can't go any deeper into debt. Even though we've got money prints, we can print money, we still can't go any deeper into debt. We can't buy more of this junk. And that's part of what's been taking place with quantitative easing. They've just been buying toxic assets. They call them toxic assets, but what they mean is they're buying pieces of paper that aren't assets at all. They're overpriced. They're hugely overpriced. And somebody's buying them in order to keep the system from collapsing, but they're hitting a gag reflex. They're hitting their limit. What's that mean? There are reports, some people suspect that the growth in the Dow Jones, for example, pretty much parallels the amount of money that's been injected into the economy by quantitative easing. What's going to happen to the Dow Jones if they pull the plug on quantitative easing? Think we'll see 18,000, Melody? Or will we see 15,000?
Mm-hmm. How about 10,000?
I don't know. I don't know, but the whole thing is just, and you can't get straight answers, and that's the big problem. If we could count on Janet Yellen to come front and say, look, here's what we're doing, here's why we're doing it, and we'd sit back and say, well, we know Janet is telling us the truth. Well, we could work with that. If Barack Obama tell us the real inflation rate, the real unemployment rate, we could work with that. It might be painful, it might be unpleasant, but we could work with it. We're in a situation where we are lied to so much we can't tell whether we are receiving the truth or more lies. We're going to take some commercials. For a moment, Melody and I will be back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with Salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give Melody a call. She's got some great prices, and prices are only better now. I mean, how much better are prices today than they were Friday?
Yes, and we're running a little special today, $650. It includes your shipping for $50 face value of the 90% silver, and these are all quarters. So these are all quarters. Everyone requests quarters. They're easier to count than the dimes, and a little bit easier to spend if needed than the 50-cent pieces, although I love the 50-cent pieces. So we have quarters, $50 face value. This includes all your shipping costs, 90% quarters, $650. They just need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, what's next, Melody?
Well, someone just sent, I don't know if I can bring it up here. I can't, again, but the WTO has restricted U.S. companies in China from, it rules against U.S. on China state companies. We'll see if we can't bring that up, but I was unable to. And speaking of China today, Al, they're meeting with officials from the BRIC nations, are getting together on to sign off on a new development bank that's being launched by these emerging market nations. You have officials from the BRICS nations have said Shanghai will likely be the headquarters. But they're still deciding on if that is really the case. China is also planning an Asian infrastructure investment bank. But they're meeting down in South America. This was released by the Chinese Foreign Ministry. It said China would try to better play the role of a responsible major power and promote the rights of the developing world. We will dedicate ourselves to perfecting the international system of governance and proactively push for expanding the representation and the right to speak for developing countries in international affairs. We will come up with more Chinese proposals and contribute China's wisdom. And he says, we're not here to overtake. He says that's not, and I'm not quite sure I would agree with this gentleman, but there was concerns about China's dominating with their power, their growing strength. And
they're concerned with China dominating militarily. Right? But if China is smart, they're going to save the military, and they will dominate financially. It's a lot more lucrative. I mean, ask the people at the Federal Reserve and the government of the United States. We've dominated financially since World War II. That dominance is coming to an end. But the fundamental, the big money is in the financial domination. And put on a nice suit and tie. You don't have to wear a helmet or a flak jacket and the rest of that sort of thing.
Well, there's always been the those who want to control the world, and you're right, you control it financially in today's world. But he came out and he said that the Chinese people have peace in the blood of the Chinese people. There are no genes for invading others or dominating the world. China does not acknowledge the old logic of when a country is strong, it must dominate. China will resolutely pursue the path of peaceful development to proactively seek a peaceful international environment for its own development. Well, you know, that's a lot of gibble talk, but
yeah. I've heard a couple politicians talk in the past, and I'm not completely unfamiliar with the dialect.
But
when they are not going to dominate the world, that's probably true.
They can, trust me. They will dominate if they can.
If they can, but I think they will be content for the moment to dominate their region. All right. If I were in Japan, I would be concerned. All right. China may not intend to dominate the United States or Europe, but it might want to take a shot at Japan. It may want to take a shot at the Philippines. There are other nations, you know, that are close by. Vietnam. They've already had some conflicts with these people. So even if their ultimate goal was some sort of global domination, and I don't know that that's true, but if it were, they're still going to start putting the pieces together right there on their doorstep. And they're not going to try to dominate something that's 2,500, 5,000 miles away. They're going to try to dominate something that's right there, close at hand, easy to deal with. You know, that's where they'll start. And then if things go well, they may move out a little bit more and more, and who can say? But for the moment, I don't expect world domination out of China. And I think China realizes that they probably don't have the resources to even attempt that at this time. All they're going to shoot for is to increase their influence. They're going to have more influence than they have right now. That's what they're looking for, but I don't think they're looking for dominant influence. It may even be a disability to be perceived to be the single dominant power in the world. When you assume that mantle and you're the globe's only superpower, then guess what? You're the one entity that everybody kind of dislikes. Yeah.
Well, sometimes, perhaps that's not your ultimate goal, but when you have an economy that perhaps is strong, and certainly China has its problems, in their structure, their financial structure, they do have their problems. But sometimes you just get there whether you want to or not. And I mean, that's been the desire since day one is, you know, there's various sections and tribes and groups and countries that want to dominate. So whether you get there by choice or by accident, it happens. And I read an article this article was written by a gentleman in the 20s, and he broke down the Chinese culture. And the one that always stuck in mind was, he says, the Chinese will come to you with their hand stretched out as friends. and all the while they are doing what is needed to protect. They are not the friends that you believe them to be. They will befriend you, but they are very much protective and will do what is needed to do for them. And
well, that's not unusual. I mean, there's nothing surprising about that.
And their culture doesn't change.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the amazing thing is that China, which allegedly has 54 different languages within China, a couple of dominant, one or two that are dominant, but something like 54 different languages and dialects, and that means 54 different cultures within China. How do they hold that together, and how have they held it together for centuries? It's really quite remarkable. Something goes on in China that the rest of the world, I certainly don't understand, and the rest of the world can't seem to emulate. But China can hold a lot of disagreeing people together, and I'm not sure why. So,
isn't it called the Iron Fist? Isn't it?
Well, that's some of it, the Velvet Glove and the Iron Fist and the rest of it. It's... You know, we live in dangerous times. We'll see the Velvet Glove. We see the Velvet Glove in this country. We've got President Obama speaking in melodious terms over the TV. All right? In a sense, he's the Velvet Glove. But there's problems with FBI, IRS, local police. We have an enforcement problem in what is a growing police state. And so we've got Velvet Glove and a certain amount of Iron Fist, you know, even here in this country. We don't necessarily have, I won't say we have Iron Fist yet, but to coin a phrase, we at least have the Iron Finger. Government has the Iron Finger, and it's intended for all of us. So on that happy note, Melody, what's next?
Well, speaking of power, I for some reason I found this interesting. I'm not a military person or an Air Force, and you know, I see planes. I get from point A to point B. But the Pentagon had a big budget for their F-35 fighter, and they're having major problems. And to me, this is just another sign of, you know, perhaps the strength. I mean, it was all about our military. I mean, this was, you know, we had the best military in the world, and here they're grounding their new fighter. Their joint strike fighters are being grounded. All of it's new. There was an incident on June 23rd where one of these high-tech warplanes caught fire down in Florida. And there was a no-fly order issued, and it affects at least 50 of these F-35s at training and test bases in Florida, Arizona, California, and Maryland. And, you know, the Pentagon routinely can ground warplanes on a temporary basis, you know, if there's accidents or you can have some sort of malfunctions. But to me, I think with this being a new strike fighter and where this country is, and, you know, you coined the phrase a leaf in the breeze. Mm-hmm. Again, here is something that there's certain problems with this fighter.
I don't think the problems are necessarily catastrophic. I think you're dealing with a brand new airplane, and it's not just, you know, we're just bought it. It's not just like buying a new Cadillac. There's new technology, and they've stretched and they've done something. This allegedly will be our basic fighter for who knows 20 years or something. They've tried to step into the future with this, so you got to expect there's going to be.
Yeah, from what I read, this new plane, it can't turn, it can't climb, it can't run. The weight of this, it's overweight and underpowered.
Well, if that's true, so then we have a major problem.
Yeah, and this design, this plane, this F-35 was supposed to become by far the military's most numerous warplane, and it was designed to replace almost all of the current fighters. So if this is supposed to be our... You know, our new group of fighters. Well, and again, it's just another sign. Like, what happened? Who's in charge? You know, it's just like anything else. Lockheed Martin and the engineers, they've done a lot of work on the design. The development of this began in the 90s. So
I think they may have attempted too much. They might have attempted too much because if I understand correctly, this particular aircraft is designed, they're going to try to use this on aircraft carriers for the Navy. And they're going to try to use it from the ground for the Air Force. And it may be that they've tried to make one plane do too much. And we'll find out. It'll be certainly a lesson for Lockheed Martin. They're the manufacturers of this aircraft. And they're going to find out if they're going to be the heroes or the goat.
But, you know, the final part of this article talks about the fundamental design flaws. I mean, sure, you could get some minor fixes that could get these warplanes flying again. But if it is a fundamental design flaw, it could take decades.
No, then it's this fundamental design flaw. Then you write it off and you start all over again.
And look,
and
when
you
they
stick it to Lockheed Martin and say, look, you guys got computers and one thing and another. You should have made a plane that works.
But look how many years it took, Al. That was, and so what this article says, it's potentially jeopardizing U.S. national security.
Well, it'll jeopardize.
So, you know, it's, again, just another sign of the times. Who's in control? Who's manufacturing? And anyway.
Here, I'll give you a sign of the times. Here's an email that I received today. It's on gas station pump fraud. Right? And this is interesting to me. I hadn't heard this before. According to the email, it says, this is not me. I'm going to just read the email from someone who is, I'm reading their language. And the writer says, I always check the first gallon before pumping more, simply to match the price, which is advertised, against 1 gallon pumped into my car. In other words, what this person is saying is, whenever she goes up to the gas station, and the price is, let's suppose it was $3.50 a gallon. She goes up there and she pumps exactly 1 gallon into her gas tank. And she watches the meter closely. And when it comes up to exactly 1 gallon, she stops. And then she reads the price. And if the price corresponds to the advertising price, then she continues to fill the tank. But she says what's happened, she caught a Shell station here in Mesa, Arizona, that had a price of 12 cents per gallon higher than the advertised price on the pump and on the sign out front. In other words, they're telling you we're going to sell the gas for $3.50 a gallon, but in fact, on the machine, it's pricing it at the rate of $3.62 per gallon. All right? And she watches, and again, it's pretty clever to me. You pump exactly 1 gallon in, and you find out. Are they charging you? Does the price on the meter register exactly what the advertised price is? If it is, good. If it doesn't, there's a problem. 12 cents a gallon, you take a station, I have no idea how many gallons a good filling station can provide on a daily basis, but it would certainly be thousands of gallons, I would guess. And let's just suppose it was 10,000 gallons a day out of a filling station. If they could make an extra 12 cents a gallon out of 10,000 gallons, that translates into an extra $1,200 a day. They're being able to essentially defraud customers out of at that station. You do that 30 days out of the month, and you've got $3,600 or $36,000 a month. Translates into something like $400,000 for the year. Right? It's a lot of money, and not many people would check. So, you know, I'm just passing this along for people who want to know. And incidentally, she said as soon as she caught this pump was wrong, she said, I called the local Department of Agriculture, Weights and Measures Division, from her cell phone immediately, waited for them to show up. They did, 20 minutes later. All right? That's pretty good service, in my opinion. The department taped all the pumps, stopping all traffic from using the pumps. They, two men, checked all six pumps, finding them all rigged at a higher price by 12 cents per gallon than advertised. So here's something that you maybe, you know, I hope some of you people, you just might consider this is worth next time you pull up to the pump. Pay close attention how much you pay for the first gallon. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be dependent on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hey, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. And what's next, Melody?
22 million New Yorkers' personal records exposed. So if you do any online buying, folks, think twice about it.
Yeah. That was over a period of 5 years, but nevertheless, again, nearly 23 million private records of New Yorkers have been exposed to data security breaches reported by more than 3,000 businesses, nonprofits, and governments over the past 8 years. I said five, it's eight. That's according to New York's Attorney General. They also mentioned that eBay said that hackers raided its network 3 months ago, accessing some 145 million user records in what is poised to go down as one of the biggest data breaches in history. You know, how often do we hear about these data breaches, Melody?
All the time.
And there's a point to it. The Attorney General, he said, as we increasingly share our personal information with stores, restaurants, healthcare providers, and other organizations, we should be able to enjoy the benefits of new technology without putting ourselves at risk. But the truth of the matter is there's no hope of real security or secrecy in the digital age and the age of big government. Digital technology means that 1 million records, it means, first of all, that millions of records can fit on a CD or even a thumb drive. And two, those records can be copied almost instantly by anyone who can access the database. If you don't believe me, ask Edward Snowden or the National Security Agency. Big government means that big institutions, and it also means the massive centralization of records. That means there can be millions of personal records stored on a computer the size of a laptop. When you put so many records in one small space, the temptation to steal them is almost irresistible, which goes back to this idea that 145 million user records were copied from eBay 3 months ago. All right. The American people, Even so, American people have so far found plastic credit and debit cards to be so convenient that they are, so far, prepared to suffer the inconvenience of an occasional ID theft by hackers. I'm betting that the day is coming, however, when ID theft becomes so massive that even Americans will be forced to abandon plastic and return to something that is non-digital, like cash or checks. Now, I know the government wants you to deal with digital because it's easy to trace, easy to follow. I mean, you just plug it in, the computer will generate everything that needs to be done. The data is already entered. It's just a question of copying it, and sorting it. It's not like getting a stack of checks where you have to go through each check individually and enter each check individually. The government has to do that. It's a tedious job, and it requires a lot of clerical help to go through all of these checks and a lot of data entry. When it's digital, data's already entered. All you have to do is filter it, figure out what it means. Government wants it, but it becomes increasingly apparent that there's no secrecy. There's no security in the digital age, at least using digital products. I saw a report, one of the news sources posted a report earlier today that Germany is thinking about, the government of Germany is thinking about going back. They're going to communicate their sensitive data by means of typewriters, right? A non-digital form of communication. Now, a lot of you people probably aren't even old enough to remember typewriters, but they
were.
I have
one right here next to me.
Well, I understand. I'm joking about that, but the truth of the matter is there are a lot of people in this world right now, younger people, typewriter. What the heck is a typewriter? If you could show them one, they say, what the heck is that? Is this something they used to make the first Bible? Did Gutenberg invent the typewriter? No, he didn't invent the typewriter. He was a little more primitive even than the typewriter. But they're thinking about going back to get away from digital. And the point is, if the government of Germany is considering a return to a typewriter technology, that's good evidence that even the government of Germany can't establish sufficient security to be confident that their digital information is, it can't be hacked. If the government of Germany can be hacked, if they can be broken into, what do you think the chances are that you have a computer that can't be hacked into? Or, what are the chances that it's not already being hacked into? There are people who believe that the Intel processors and the AMD processors are built to include backdoors where the CIA, the NSA, whoever can tap into your computer whenever they want and read whatever you've been doing. It points to a time when either we'll have to give up the convenience of credit cards and establish some sort of a security procedure where every time your credit card is used, somebody's got to take a scan of your iris or a thumbprint or a DNA sample, for all I know. But if we're going to make credit cards safe and debit cards safe, we're going to have to make them much less convenient. On the other hand, if we're going to keep them convenient, you can bet that anybody's going to be able to hack into them who is halfway adept at in the computer sciences. So, what are you going to do, Melody? Going to hang on to your credit cards? Put them in your cousin's name. That's the thing to do.
Is that what I? That's what I.
Yeah,
should
I think
do.
That's put them in one of your relatives' names.
Oh, you know, sometimes you need them. You don't need them, but they certainly are.
It's convenient.
But there's certain ways, you know, there's certain things that folks can do against the invasion of your privacy and so forth. But, you know, they don't do it. They feel secure. They think that if they have a complicated password or something like that, that it's going to protect them. But you buy anything online, it's there for the world to know.
Security things. the password, good idea. But how much of a password are you using with your credit card or your debit card? Does a password have to be entered in to the local restaurant's computer every time you buy yourself a dinner? And even if it did, if it does, it opens the possibility of data input errors. If you had to use a password when you're down at the local restaurant, what makes you sure that the waiter isn't going to copy your password and your number and give it to one of his buddies later on? And that's assuming there even was a password. I mean, the whole thing is so bizarre. It's as if when you go out for a rest, you go out to the restaurant, when you go to pay your meal, you go into a little private booth, right? Completely dark. And you're the only one who ever handles your credit card. You're the only one who touches it. And maybe you enter a security code that nobody can else watch. And even then, you can't be sure. The whole thing is, what I'm saying is, the system, the digital system, can't even be protected from people like Edward Snowden. It can't last. There's a problem here. And when it breaks down, if it breaks down, how is that going to affect our economy? Can the economy, as it exists right now, can it continue to function without credit cards and debit cards, or if they are restricted by who knows, 30, 40, 50% less credit cards, less debit cards? How will the system handle that?
About 10 years ago, I read a study, and it was about identity theft. Maybe it was a little bit longer than 10 years ago. And the conclusion of this study was identity theft was not as great as what was reported, because it was more propaganda in order to promote the various security systems that were created and to push us down this path to eventually people will do anything to protect their, whether it be their identity, their credit cards, and so forth. And we certainly have heard many, many horror stories about identity theft. I've known people who've had part of their identity theft, their driver's licenses and so forth, being used by illegal aliens. And you can't, there isn't anything that you can do about it. It's very hard to track them down. They won't ever, you know, press charges against them and so forth. So it makes me wonder, when you see these numbers about the these hackings of computers and so forth, how real is it? Because what is the next step? The next step, of course, is when we go into that chip. The chip won't be hacked, folks.
Well,
if you want that degree, if you want that degree, and I believe that things don't happen overnight. They start a long time ago. And that's how people are pushed into the herd and agree to all these things that are given to them to accept. And situations are created. Problems are created. And then they come in with a solution. It takes time, and everything else falls into place. And that's how I view it. So the question is, how bad is it? And certainly, what
is real is it?
How real is it? Mm-hmm. And what is the answer?
We see an eBay report that they lost, or 145 million user records were copied in what they say is one of the biggest data breaches in history, at least so far. What are you going to do with 145 million user records? You know, the truth of the matter is, if I were a thief and I had 145 million user records, in my lifetime, I probably wouldn't use more than 10 of them.
Well,
what do you do? I know that you can sell them. I know there's things that can be done and the rest, but there is a point. It's almost more information than anyone can handle. What I'm looking for is the day when someone invents some sort of a computer where they managed to capture 145 million records. And they've got a program where it just goes through every one of those records and downloads $10.
They do.
Take all 145 million?
They I got a call. I went to use one of my credit cards, and I was turned down, and I was really upset because there's no reason I should have been turned down. Here, the credit card company denied the charges. I called them, and they said because of fraud, there was a charge for $1 out of Ireland. Out of Ireland. And they say when they see this type of charge, it is usually either someone testing the credit card to see if it goes through, to see if it's caught, and it was for $1. And they, you know.
You were doing your Irish accent on the phone, weren't you?
No.
See, that's where he got into the trouble. If you wouldn't have done that Irish accent, you'd have been okay. But
and you know what's interesting? This was just a couple of weeks ago. And so they can, you know, how many credit cards, perhaps with $1 charge that their company didn't catch or didn't catch their eye, and it went through. So
I get that, but that sounds like one guy sitting at a computer and he's going to test it and he's going to type your credit card number in and your PIN number, whatever, and see if he can get a dollar. And if it works, then he might try to get $100 or $1,000, but he's kind of testing this. I don't know if it's, I don't know it for a fact, but it sounds a little like maybe he's entering the data, you know, digit by digit with his hands. But what I'm talking about is a program that captures, you get 145 million records from eBay, and the program automatically goes through and charges every single credit card on that out of those 145 million, just bang, 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 and you charge every one of them $5 or $10. And some will hit and some won't hit, but nevertheless, you can go through the whole 145 million in, let's say, an hour. I don't know if that's, it's 2 hours, half a day. I don't know how long it takes. But under those circumstances, the theft of 145 million records could suddenly be extraordinarily lucrative. 145 million times 10, you know, that's $1 billion in theory that could be extracted. Now, I don't think there's a program like that at this time, but I would be astonished if there weren't people who weren't working on it at this time that could just process, who knows, 5 million records at a time. Bang. So, what do we got, Melody? About a minute to go?
Yep, we're just about out of time. So, folks, I mean, if you do use the internet and your computers, be safe. And, you know, for your gold and silver buys, it just amazes me that people buy gold and silver online. I've been tempted to sell gold and silver online, and I keep coming back to not wanting to do it. It's, folks, that is your security. That is your security. That is your privacy. Your privacy begins, in my view, when you purchase gold and silver. That's how you remain, to a certain degree, private. And that's why it's
and
so
pay by
important.
Check, for example, or perhaps wire transfer. But
still, I mean, you don't have the world looking at the at your purchases online. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Remember, we got a great special for 90% silver today, $650. That includes your shipping costs, $50 face value, 90% quarters. 800-375-4188. Al?
Yes, ma'am. I'm Alfred Attisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, and the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.